This passage, this gospel passage in Luke's account, is the calling of the first disciple. And it is in the other gospels as well, but I think in Luke's account we need to take a close look at it, so we will today. Jesus meets fishermen on the shore who had a disastrous night. They were out all night fishing, and they didn't catch anything. Now they're on the shore, and they're hauling their nets in and cleaning the nets as they bring them in. Now I want to put that in a little bit of context. At the time that they were fishing, the nets, of course, would have been string and twine and rope. Now, you know what happens with string and twine and rope when you put it in water. It expands, it gets very heavy. This would have been a very strenuous job, pulling the nets in, pulling them out, pulling them in, bringing to the shore, washing them, folding them up. You know how string tends to unfold itself, even though you have the best of knots. You have to care, you know, each one. This is a big process. It wasn't just going out fishing and coming back saying, oh, we didn't catch anything. It's a big process. And there's a lot at stake. No fish means no food. You know, they weren't fishing for fun. And so there would have been these fairly, I imagine, large, bulky guys, because it's a very physical job. Pulling these nets in, and they're disappointed. They've been out all night and caught nothing. So Jesus starts a conversation with them. These guys that have been pushed to their limits, and nothing happened. And just then, as they were pushed to their limits, Jesus walks in. Keep that in mind. We'll come back to it. So Jesus starts the conversation with a small little favor. He says, would you mind just pushing the boat out a little ways so I can preach and preach to the people all on the shore, which he did a number of times. And they agreed. So they push the boat out, and he does his sermonizing. And in some ways, it's sort of an insignificant encounter with these fishermen. But of course, it's full of possibilities. So what's really going on here? Jesus takes the risk. He takes the initiative to say something. He could have been rejected. They could have said, no, we're tired. You're not going to use our boat. We're winding up the day. We're going to go to sleep. But they didn't. Jesus took the initiative and said, here I am. Would you help me out a little bit? And God usually does take the initiative in welcoming a new or a renewed relationship. Certainly did with me when I got my conversion. God definitely took the initiative. I wasn't going to do that. I was, whenever I was, a number of years ago, a bit lost and not knowing what to do, pulling in empty net after empty net. And God spoke to me in a number of different ways, in a number of different styles, on a number of different levels. But God definitely, most definitely, took the initiative. And so what's going on here? Why does God do that? Why does God take the initiative? Think about your own lives when you think you've been directed by God. Why would God take the initiative to do that? And it is very interesting to see exactly how God engages us to become a part of God's movement. We're often quite unaware of why or how to get out of that empty net sort of state, and God comes into our lives and says, well, here's a way out. It's usually gentle. It's usually nothing flashy or big. It's usually intriguing. And quite often what happens during that process is that we will encounter different people all of a sudden. God puts us in front of different sorts of people from different cultures, from different organizations, from different parts of life, people that we wouldn't have normally met before, but somehow God is opening up to those new people. Let's take a look at the apostles. Andrew, Peter, James, and John, well, they were fishermen. Matthew, he was a tax collector. I won't go into tax collectors at the time, but it's not a good guy. Simon was a zealot. Now, that's not an occupation, that's sort of a political thing, but he was a zealot. Judas, we're not sure of, but he was the treasurer, so something with finances, probably. And we don't know about Bartholomew, Thomas, Thaddeus, or James, but they were likely tradesmen, like Jesus, a carpenter. So likely, because there's just not too many other jobs like that. And Paul, if you want to throw Paul in there, he was a Pharisee. Now, that's quite a mix of characters. I think it's very unlikely that they wouldn't have picked each other as a group. I don't think they would have ever even crossed paths with each other as a group. And yet, here they are, with this one common factor, Jesus, calling them all into his movement. But what is common about them, and why Jesus did touch them, is they were all looking for something. They all, in one sense or another, had an empty net in their life, and they were looking to be transformed. And Jesus offers them this, but he does so in a slow and gentle way. It's not an overnight thing. Transformation, when God calls us to transform ourselves into a new ministry, it usually takes time. It usually takes time. And it did so, obviously, with the disciples as well. So let's take even a closer look at it. So Jesus says, go out into the deep and fish again. And Simon is perplexed, perhaps even as incredulous. He says, we tried already, as you can imagine, and that's why I sort of talked about the nets and all that sort of stuff. But we were exhausted. We did it already and got nothing. But there was obviously something in what Jesus was saying, or how he was saying it, that compelled Simon to go out and try again. And so he did. And you can imagine the sight of this rugged fisherman agreeing to the advice of, by all accounts, a very small carpenter. Okay, fine, he goes out. And the call of God to ministry usually makes you think twice. So let's take an even closer look at that. The invitation is important to go out into the deep. And I want to talk about that in the terms of the Israelite culture as well. The Israelite culture had a fear of deep water. That's where the monsters lived. That's where ungodly things were a part of. You notice the Israelites never became a seafaring nation. They had a distrust of deep water. And so for Jesus to say, go out and fish again, but go out into the deep water, is really pushing your boundaries. It's pushing the envelope of what you feel comfortable with doing. Jesus wanted them to go out where they had not gone before. So we too want to stay within our boundaries, want to stay with what is safe, what is predictable, not to venture out into new ground, particularly not into the new ground of deep water. We are all challenged to a new ministry from time to time, to find new ground, to go out into the deep waters. And here we are with Simon, and he goes out into the deep water. And what does he find? Bounty beyond what he's ever found before. God usually directs us away from our safe places, away from our safe ways, away from our safe journey. Transformation is not a safe and simple thing. Simon does this, and he's surprised by the result. He gets more than he can handle. Really. And clearly Simon knows that something extraordinary has happened. Jesus is manifestly a divine presence. Jesus is someone who can control nature itself, and Simon experiences this. And this experience puts Simon's life in a new perspective. Clearly, it looks like he's going to be on a new journey, a new path, a life of transformation. And what does Simon do immediately? Like almost everyone, he tries to get out of it. He says, no, I'm not worthy. I'm a sinful man. Don't go after me. Just like when God talks to Moses. Moses says, no, I'm not the one to lead the Israelites. My brother's really good at leading people. Go ask him. When the angel goes to Mary, she says, surely not me. No. But yes, it is you. God is calling you. And Jesus replies to Simon, don't worry. From now on, you will be catching people. And I want to talk about that translation a little bit. I've always loved the King James Version, which is, follow me and you will go fishing for men, playing on the English fishermen, right? It's just really poetic. But it's actually a really wrong translation, and so is the one we heard today. The real translation, the more closer one in English, is actually, from now on, you will be catching live people. Interesting little switch, isn't it? From now on, you will be catching live people. And that word live makes a whole bunch of difference in that sentence. We're not just grabbing people in. We're going to be catching live people. And there's an element of surprise in that. There's an element of complexity in that. There's an element of danger in that. There's an element of not being successful, but there's also a huge element of mystery and fun in that. Follow me, and we will be catching live people. So Simon just made the biggest haul of fish in his whole life. And what does he do? He follows Jesus. He walks away from his boat. He changes his vocation. Right then and there. Doesn't even seemingly say goodbye to his family. Doesn't sell anything he had. He just leaves it and follows Jesus. So we can look at this story of the calling of the first disciples, but there is more for us to learn. And there is certainly a cost to discipleship, a cost to following God's call for us, even to the point of changing our vocation, even to the point of self-transformation. It's not always easy. And we are called to different ministries at different times of our lives, and sometimes the changes and transformations are bigger than others. But God is constantly calling us, constantly pushing us a little bit to try and go a little deeper, to try and stand on new ground. But please note this. Simon, like us, did not follow Jesus just because he was forced to in any way. He followed Jesus because, having experienced the grace of God, having experienced going out and fishing and coming in with nothing and all of a sudden having nets so full you can't haul them in, that he had no other choice. The grace of God is so large and so wonderful and so compelling, you really don't have to worry about it. You have no other choice. God will show you the way. Simon's transformation was like that. My transformation was like that. Your transformation is and will continue to be like that. So just as we are about to give up on something, Jesus walks into our lives and transforms us with a new direction, a new journey, and something absolutely compelling. In his holy name, amen.